Begin the current daf and start the Shabbos daf Kuf Yud Zayin. We begin two lines up from the top of the Yomin, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, in the previous daf, we had a discussion of a brayse that was brought in that was related to our Mishnah. And that is, we had a machlokes between the Rabbanan and Reb Yishmol Benoy Shabbiyach Ben Bereka regarding when the Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. And Shabbos is Naldu Melachas, but however, you have to bring the Korban Pesach and Erev on Erev Pesach, which on the 14th of Nisan. So what do you do with Shabbos? So the machlik is, up until how far do you do hefshet? Do you flay the animal? That is, that Reb Shmuel holds that you flay it up until the chaz, up until the breast, because that's what's necessary for tzorcha gevoya, to be able to take out the emurim, the sacrificial parts, up until there. And further than that, it's only tzorcha hedi. It's necessary for the person to be able to eat it. That you have to wait till it's Matzah Shabbos, when it's already Pesach. However, the Rabban say no, that you could be mafshit the entire thing, you could skin the whole entire thing. And the Gemara said that that's totally in the machlekes, how you interpret the pasuk of Kol Poel Hashem L'Baneihu, that everything Hashem did was for His covenant. That is, the Rabbanan hold that that includes also that Hashem wants that whatever they're eating from His table, so to speak, which is the Korban Pesach, should be also proper. And if you don't skin it on Erev Pesach, you leave it till the night, it's going to get disgusting, or it's going to be vile, that it's just sitting there like a nevela. So those are the two pshatim that were said in the Rabbanan. However, Reb Shmuel holds, no, it's not going to get spoiled. Whatever it is, you can leave it till the night. And he interprets the pasuk of Kol Poel Hashem L'Baneihu, that is, you just have to skin it up to the breast, because you can't take out the emurim, the sacrificial parts, when the hide is still on, because then the hair from the hide is going to get stuck on the emurim, and that's not proper. That's not L'Baneihu, that's not my coveting. And then the Gemara brings a memo from Rav Chisda that says, what would the answer to Rabbi Shmuel, that why is it that you can flay it, the entire carbon, and not only up until the breast, like Rabbi Shmuel said? So they said, a raya from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, halacha, that you're allowed to save the cover of the sefer together with the sefer, because you're allowed to save Kisvei Kodesh from a fire in Shabbos. Together with that, although you wouldn't be able to save just the cover, but the fact that it's coming along with the sefer, you're allowed to save that too. So therefore they said to him, if you're allowed to do that, so why shouldn't you be able to also flay the Pesach from the entire hide all the way up to the top, even though it's not necessary for the Tzarech Gevoya, like to save the sefer? Here also, but you're allowed to do the cover together with it once you're doing it. So here also, you should be able to take the entire hide, even though really for Tzarech Gevoya, it's only necessary up until the breast. Which he answered, the Gemara said that can't be what they would respond to him, because how could you compare Muktzah, which is the halacha of our Mishnah, which is only a drabanan, to the halacha that they're discussing and debating, which is a derais of Hefshet, one of the Amalachas of skinning and flaying the animal? So David, the Gemara said a different approach, which is the approach that we're discussing on today's daf. Rashi said, really they were arguing about two different points. One is what the Braisa says explicitly regarding the malach of Hefshet, of flaying the animal, up until how far you can do it. That Reb Shmuel said only up until the breast, because that's what necessary for Tzarech Gevoya. And the Rabbanan said that no, even the entire animal is considered somewhat of a Tzarech Gevoya, because that's Kol Poel Hashem L'Maneihu. Hashem wants what we're going to be eating from His carbon should be good, and therefore you're allowed to skin the entire animal. But there's another concept they were discussing and debating, was regarding the tiltal, the muktzah aspect. That is, they were saying, even according to your Bishmol, that you could only skin the animal up until the breast, but you should be able to move it. You're saying that it's muktzah because the hide has no purpose, because what could it be used for? And therefore, the entire carbon has to be left there. What do you mean? You should be able to move the hide on the basis that it's attached to the flesh, and the flesh is usable. That's meat that could be eaten. So therefore, you should be able to move that on the basis of the flesh, just like we find by our Mishnah, that you can move the cover of the sefer, even though you shouldn't be able to move it. We only permit you to move the svarim from the fire because of the fact that it's connected to the sefer. And that is where the Gemara said on the top of Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, which is the daf that we're learning today, that you can't compare that either, because over there, by the case of our Mishnah, where we permitted the covering to be taken with the sefer, there it's what's called a basis. It's a base for something that's permitted. The sefer is something that's permitted to be moved around. You learn from a sefer, you could save it from the fire. So therefore, since it's a base to that, it can be moved with it. But here, it's a basis ladav ha'aser. Here he said that the meat is not a permitted thing. The meat has no utility because it's only permitted to eat the Korban Pesach at night. So therefore, today on Shabbos, which is Erev Pesach, it cannot be used. So therefore, not only is the hide muktzah, but even if the hide wasn't muktzah, Reb Shmuel says, it would still be a basis. It would be a base for something that's muktzah because the meat is muktzah. So therefore, of course, you can't compare the cases. So what are you telling me from the Mishnah? Not like me, because you're telling me there's two machlekesin that we're having over here. There's one of the hefshet. So that we're not debating, because that has no comparison to the case of our Mishnah, because that's a deraisa and this is the rabbanon of the case of the Korban Pesach that they're debating is a deraisa, and the case of our Mishnah of the tik hasefer is a rabbanon. So therefore, that what would they respond? They would be responding on the concept of tiltal, of muktzah, which is both a rabbanon. the case of both of them are rabbinic. But still it's not comparable, because the case of a Mishnah that you can move the cup with the Sefer is because it's a bus, it's a base, and becomes like a tuffle to the object of the Sefer, which is a permitted item. So therefore, of course, you can move it. However, the case that we're discussing regarding the Karban Pesach and its hide, there the hide is a basis of something that's usher because the meat has no purpose. So therefore, what don't prove me from the Mishnah that should be mutter to move. And this is where our current daf begins. So therefore, the Gemara says, Elohoche Gemara. Rather, this is what they would tell him to say that we argue on you and why it's not like you. Imatzilan tikshal sefer imaseifa. Again, from the case of our Mishnah, that if we see that we find that you could save the cover of a sefer Torah together with the sefer, but there's another aspect that we failed to mention, and that's even though there's money inside of it, as our Mishnah says. So loy nataltal or agav basar, so shouldn't we be able to move the hide because it's attached to the meat? And that's the same idea. There, the cover of the sefer also has mukta, so it's a base to the money, which is a mukta item, and yet we could still move it because it's attached, because it's covering the sefer. So here also, although you're telling me that the meat is mukta, and therefore the hide that's attached to that, and it's a tuffle, it's secondary to the meat, it's a basar to that, so you shouldn't be able to move it, but it's not true. In our Mishnah, it's also a basar to something that's asr, because money is mukta, and yet we're still allowed to move the covering. So here also, you should be able to move the Karban Pesach that's on Erev, that's on Shabbos, on Erev Pesach, because you see, it's not a problem that it's a basar to davar asr, and therefore you should be able to move it. And that the Gemara says, again, meat dummy, is it comparable to the case of a Mishnah? Hasam over there, Nasa Basis Adava Asr, will Adava Hamut. In the case of our Mishnah, you're right. It's a base to something that's forbidden, which is money, and money is mukta, and therefore, you're right, the covering of the Sefer Torah is a base for that. But it's also a base for something permitted, because it's also has this sack, whatever this cover, that has the Sefer inside, also has money inside, so it's a base for both Asr and Mutter. So maybe there you're allowed to move it. Hachakulei nasis basal davas, but here its entirety is only a base for something that's forbidden, because as we just explained, that Yishmael learns that the Karban Pesach flesh on Erev Pesach is mukta. It has no utility, especially on Shabbos, where the halachas of mukta apply. It's only on Pesach by the night that you're supposed to eat it, especially once you finish doing all the avodas you have to do with the Karban Pesach. So therefore, again, what is the proof in our Mishnah where it's at least somewhat a base to something that's permitted, although it's also a base to something aser? But here, by the case that we're discussing, Miyud, Rabbanan, and Yishmael, that it's a case of bus is only the davar aser, because the flesh, its entirety, is the only thing that it's attached to, and that's aser. So what's the raya? It's still there. I would disagree with you and say that you cannot move it, and there's no raya from our Mishnah. So therefore, the Gemara says, rather, this is what they were saying. If you could bring the covering of a sefer that has inside of it money, meaning from elsewhere, that it was only a basis for something that's totally usher. There was only money inside. You know, I have a sack that you usually put the sefer in, but the sefer is not in it now. Only money is in now. So therefore, that is exactly like the case we're discussing, where it's a base, it's a basis for something that's totally usher. Lahatzel by sefer Torah, that we're allowed to take that quickly to go. We have to be able to carry out the sefer Torah, but we can't carry it by ourselves. We have to get a sack, a covering to be able to carry the sefer Torah. And you could put the sefer Torah in it to save it. And you don't have to throw out the money, as the Gemara is going to show in a little bit. So you see that you could carry something that's a base only for davar aser, for the money, to be able to go ahead and save the sefer Torah. So therefore, our proof against you, Rabbi Shmuel, is loy nataltal or agav basis. So therefore, shouldn't we be able to move the hide of the Karban Pesach because it's attached to the flesh? And that is in spite of the fact that it's a basis only the davar aser, but since it is letzarech, just like over there by the sefer Torah, it's for necessity. We allow you to go ahead and carry something that's a base for a davar aser, that's for totally a mukta item, because we have to save the sefer Torah here also, as the Rabbanan say, that this is considered tzarech gevoya, somewhat it's kol poel Hashem l'baneihu, that the flesh has utility. The fact that Hashem wants that the Karban Pesach should be eaten and should be proper, so that you should be able to move it, it shouldn't have halacha of mukta, because it is somewhat of a tzairich, and we find that basal davar aser is not an issue, because we find that you could even carry it if it only has the money when you're going to save the sefer Torah. To which the Gemara asks, how do you know this? Our Mishnah doesn't say that. Our Mishnah is only talking about a case of a covering that has in it money and a sefer Torah, then you're allowed to go ahead and carry it out of the fire. Where do you find that you could even take a covering that has only money to go ahead and take this bag, to be able to put the sefer in, to go ahead and take it out? So the Gemara says, if your proof is going to be from the fact of our Mishnah, that where there is inside of it the money with the sefer, that we say, as we find in our Mishnah, that you don't have to throw out the money, and that is, even though it's inside of it, you could go ahead and take that out together with the sefer. So isuyi nami maisinan. So therefore, you could prove that we would also allow you to bring it if it's, let's say, in the corner of the house is the covering, is the sack, and it has money inside of it, to go ahead and bring it to put the safer inside of it to save it, because it's the same thing. We allow you to take a covering with money to go ahead and save the safer Torah. And that the Gemara says, me dummy. Is it comparable to the case of where the sefer is inside the sack, in the covering, with the money, to where you're coming right now to bring the sack with only money and then to put the sefer inside of it? It's not true. Hasam, over there we have the sefer and the money inside of the bag. There we don't require you to throw out the money. We let you save it with the money inside of it, because at the hachi v'hachi nafalat leika, if we made you go ahead and say throw out the money in the meantime, the safer is going to go catch on fire. So therefore, we don't make you take out the money and then take out the safer with it. However, hacha over here, when you're bringing it, right, it's in the corner and you have the bag, the container, the mantle for the sefer Torah, and there's money inside of it, and you're going to bring it to take the sefer out, on your way, when you're coming to go ahead and bring it, then you should pour out the money as you're going to get it. You're anyways on your way. So why shouldn't we require you to throw out the money? What's the proof from the case of our Mishnah that if you're bringing the sack initially now with only money inside of it, that's a basis l'davar asa, that you shouldn't have to throw it out on your way in? So David the Gemara says, Ella, you're right. It's not like we originally said on the previous staff that there's two machloikas in regarding the case of hefshit, of how far can you flay it up until the breast or the entire animal, and that there's also machloikas regarding muktzah, and that is the Rabbanan would have a taina against Rabbi Shmuel. As we attempted to, there's no good claim against Rabbi Shmuel why it shouldn't be muktzah. And therefore, they don't have an answer that it would be from our Mishnah against Rabbi Shmuel on the claim of muktzah. So David the Gemara says, Ela omamah b'ravashi, lo'ilam kedamrin mikar. Rather, it's like we initially said, that they're only arguing regarding hefshata, regarding flaying, and not regarding muktzah. And this, that Rabban bring a raya from our Mishnah, of the covering of the sefer, that you're allowed to save the money together with the fact that you're taking it out to save the sefer Torah, and therefore you see the concept of that you could do tzarchi hedgit, something that's necessary just for a regular person, because of the fact that you're doing it for, at the same time with tzarchi gevoya, to do something l'shem shemayim, to save the sefer Torah, because we find that you don't have to wait to throw out the money. So here also, there is also an element of tzarchi gevoya, because as we said on the previous daf, there's a pasuk of kol par l'Hashem lemeneu, everything Hashem did, He did for His honor, so therefore we say that you could flay the entire animal. As we said there, that just like you could flay up until the breast, which is for tzarchi gevoya, so you could take out the sacrificial part, so too you could flay the entire thing, which is taking it tzarchi gevoya, and also doing tzarchi hedya, just like we find that you could take it to save a Torah, at the same time with the money inside of it, have tzarchi hedya together with tzarchi gevoya. Oh, udiku kashiloch, but what's going to bother you, like we asked on the previous daf? As we said in the beginning of when we started the daf, we said that there's a big difference. I mean, how could you compare the case of our Mishnah, which is Toma Muktzah? Yeah, over there, but Muktzah, we allow you to do Tzarchi Hedja together with the Tzarchi Gevoya. Now, we allow you to take out the money together with it once we're letting you take out the Sefer Torah. But that's only a Drabbanan. How could you compare it to the case of Hefshet, of skinning, which is one of the Av Malachas, it's a Malacha Deiraisa, to say that once you could skin it up until the breast, that you're allowed to do the entire thing, how could you compare it and bring me a proof from our Mishnah, from a Drabbanan to a Deiraisa? And that the Gemara says, Kegoin Deloi Kebay La'ar. Now what could we say? It's talking about a case that you don't need the hide, and therefore you're not intending to skin it because of the hide. And therefore, you can't compare it to, as we know, we learn that the malachas of Shabbos from the malachas of Mishkan, and that's why it has to be a malachas machsheves. And there, what they would skin the rams and the tachash, which was a special animal in times of the Mishkan, that they would do it for the Mishkan. It was for the purpose of getting the hides. And here, since you're skinning it, we're talking about a case that you don't need the hides. And therefore, it's not a malachas machsheves, and it wouldn't be something that's asim deraisa. It would only be something that's asim derabanan. And therefore, yes, you could equate the case of hefshet of skinning, which is generally malacha deraisa, but here it wouldn't be malacha deraisa, it would be only malacha drabanan, because you're not doing the deraisa. It has to be malachas machsheves, that you're intending it for the item itself, for the skinning itself, which as it was in the Mishkan, but here you don't need it for it, and therefore it's the same. We could bring a raya from our Mishnah, which is what they're saying against Rabbi Shmuel, that just like there you could do tzarchi hedya together with tzarchi gevoya, here also to be able to do tzarchi hedya with tzarchi gevoya to skin the entire animal. To which the Gemara asks, but you're right. So it's something that's not miskaven. Davashin miskaven, and we say if it's not intended to do it, it's not a melachas machsheves. It's not going to be asim v'dayraisa. It's only going to be asim drabbanan. But v'abayi v'rabbi dermatavayu moedir Reb Shimon b'psik reisha below yamas. Both Abayi and Rabbi say that even Reb Shimon, who he's the one that says that a davashin miskaven is not asim v'dayraisa, because you're not intending it for this purpose. But however, if it's inevitable that if you chop off the chicken's head, it's not going to die. What I mean, even though I don't want to kill it, I just want the head. But if inevitable, then it is going to be asim d'oraisa. It's considered as a malechus machshavas as if you're intending it. So here also, you're right. You're not intending to use it for the hide. But yes, you know it's inevitable that when you're skinning it, that you're skinning it. So therefore, it should be asim d'oraisa. So again, how could you compare it to the case of our Mishnah, which is only drabon of muktzah? Now the Gemara says, no, it's not a question. The shokale bebarzi. We told him that he took it in thin strips. And that is, he would flay it and cut it, which that's not the way of normally of flaying the animal, which is usually you do it at one big piece because you want to use it for a hide, for ureas, or whatever it is that you want to use it for. And therefore, it's not a malacha d'oraisa. It's only a shvus, only a malacha d'rabbana. And that's why that was their claim against Rabbi Shmuel from our Mishnah, that we find that you can do tzarchi head with tzarchi gevaya because they're both isdra banan. Because although hefshet, skinning is one of the av malachas and malacha d'oraisa, in this case, where you're not intending to do it and you're doing it in the way that's not customarily done, therefore it's not the actual malacha that was done in the Mishkan, and that's why it's only going to be malacha d'rabbanan, and that's why it's comparable. Now the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, "Ulehichin matzil noisin." So now that we said that you could save the kisvi akodesh and you could even do it together with the covering that's on it at the same time, so the question was, where can you bring it to? So there was a machlokes in our Mishnah if you could bring it to a mavoi mefulish, to a mavoi that's open, or only to a mavoi she'en mefulish that's not open. So our Gemara discusses exactly different amirah. What does it mean a mavoi mefulish, a mavoi she'en mefulish? And that is, you're saving the sefer Torah together with the covering. Now, where are you going to bring this to? You can't bring it to Rishus HaRam because that's Hitzah D'oraisa, so we don't allow you to do that. So we say you can bring it to a Mavoi. A Mavoi is an area that is, in essence, the Rishus HaYachid. However, it's lacking some components of Rishus HaYachid. A, it looks like that it is Rishus HaRam because everybody is using the Mavoi. And also, it's open on at least one side. And sometimes if it's a Mavoi Mefulish, if it's open Mavoi, it could be open on two sides. And therefore, there's two necessities that are necessary for the Mavoi. To do it, to fix it, that people could carry in there, that it won't have an Isser. The Rabbanan required, A, that everyone has to join together with their meals, so it looks like that we all share, it's all our one Rishus HaYachid, and that is not many people using it as if it's a Rishus Ram. And also requires, on the side that it's open, to have either a Lechi or a Kar, either a side post, or a crossbeam. That will be either a sign, or some type of halachic wall that will close it off and make it designated like a Rishus HaYachid. So regarding the halacha over here that we said a unique heter that would allow us to save the Sefer Torah because of the fire and together with it the cover, so where can we bring it to? So we said you could bring it to a mavet, but there's a machlekes, which type of mavet did we make the special dispensation for? Was it only for a mavet that's ain mefulish, at least that it's not open on both sides, it's open on one side? We'll see exactly what the criteria of a mavet ain mefulish in this context is, or even if we let it for a mavet mefulish for an open mavet. And this is where the Gemara begins. Heichidami mefulish. What is the case of an open mavi? That is the opinion of Ben Beseri in our Mishnah that you could bring it to an open mavi. And heichidami she'en mefulish. What is the case of an unopened mavi? That's the opinion of the Tanakam Rabbana that you only allowed to bring it to one that's not open. So Amrav Chizda, sholish mechitzis v'shnei l'chayayin. If there's three walls to this area, again, this dead end where all the courtyards open into, which that opens into the Rishus Rabbim, to the public domain. It has, talking about that, it has three walls and it has two side posts, meaning for every opening that doesn't have a wall, had a side post. Zeh mavoi she'en mefulish, that is a mavoi that is not open. And in other words, it's trying to say that it's a classic mavoi that is permitted with all its halachas, whether we're making an Erev or all the other elements of it, and all the heter that we find by the other mavois, it hasn't it, for example, as we mentioned before, if you make shitufa mavois, which is the equivalent of a Eruv Chatzeris, that all the people join together the meal. So if you do that, and you put up the lechi, so then yeah, it's like a regular area of a Rishus HaYachid that everyone could carry in there. That's what's commonly called an Erev. So, however, Gimel Mechitzes of a Lechi Echad, if it has three walls and one side post, Zehu Mavu Mefulish, that's an open mavoi. So those are the two opinions of the Rabbanan and Ben Beseri and Mishnah. B'Tavayu, and both of them, both Rabbanan and Ben Beseri, Alib and Rabbi Elazar there, they follow the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, that is that he says you won't have the halacha of a mavoi, even if it's closed, if it's to be permitted with one side post. That generally, Rabbi Elazar holds that you always, if you want to have it, the halacha of a mavoi, of an open area that can be carried over there by the people in the houses, that is only has to have three walls and it has to have two side posts. However, that's what Ben Becerra is saying, that regarding saving the Kisvei HaKadosh, the Holy Scripture, the Tanakh, that there Rebbe Elazar would hold that you would not need two lachis. Although, so they're both going in his opinion, but the only difference is the Rabban say you hear as always you need to have two side posts, like you always need to do to permit the Mabuk. But here Ben Becerra is saying that here you would only need one, because here we make a special heter for the to save the Svar. This none, as you learned in the Mishnah, this opinion of Rebbe Elazar. Hechsha Mavi. What is makes a preparation for a kosher Mavi to be able to carry inside of it? Bishamay say a side post and a crossbeam. A side post is like a stick going up, and the crossbeam is something that goes from the height from one side to the other. No, either a side post or a beam. Rebbe says you need to have two side posts. And therefore that explains what the opinions of our mission is in the open or unopened. They're both talking about that there's three walls for this alleyway. However, the machlekes was if you need to have one side post or two side posts. The Rabban say that you need to have two is because as Rebbe Elazar always says, to permit the mavi, you need to have two. But Rebbe Mezer says, no, this is a special heter to save the svarim, that it's enough to have just one side post. On that, the Gemara asked, I'm like, Rabbi, I don't understand. Gimel mechitzas of alechi echad, mefulish karisle? You're calling an alleyway that has three walls and one side post an open alleyway? That is, although I understand that Beleza generally needs two side posts, but you can't call it an open alleyway. And classically, an open alleyway is that it's open on two sides. That is, this alleyway is open on one side to the Rishos Rabbim and the other side to the Rishos Rabbim. That's an open one. How can you call one that's closed on three sides and it only has one side post as an open alleyway? But moreover, v'oid, the Rabban, according to the opinion of the Rabban, that they say that you could only bring it to an unopened alleyway, and they say that is the classic mavoi that's permitted with all its halachas, because you're saying that it has two side posts, so then you should be able to save not only the Sefer Torah, you should be able to put whatever you want over there. If the house is on fire, you could bring all your food and your drink, just like a regular chatzar that has an Erev. And therefore, why are we differentiating that we're saying over here in our Mishnah that regarding saying the Sefer Torah, that we could bring it to this mavoi that's not open? Yet, regarding food items, we learn on the next Mishnah, Daf Kof Chof Amar Aleph, that we say, Lehechen Matzvil Noy, so that where can we save the food items? It's Lechotz Amor Revis to a Chotzer that has an Erev, was Mashma, but to the mavoi you can't, because mavoi is always a step down, it's more chamer, it's a closer level to the Rishos Rabbim. So why would we say that it's only for the Sefer Torah that we're allowed to bring to this mavi? It's a regular mavi, you could carry in there as always. So why are we saying you can only save the Sefer Torah there? You should be able to bring whatever you want over there, and even the food items. Why do we say by food, which we're going to see why you can't bring in all the food, is only a certain amount of sudas, but the idea is that they were only allowed to bring it to the chatzar and not to the mavi. Why is it? It's a regular mavi. Elam Rabbi, so rather Rabbi says, he argues. He says a different pshat in the two opinions in our Mishnah. We're talking about shtei mechitzes, that there are two walls from either side, and shnei lechayayin, and there's two side posts for every opening has its own side post. Zel mavi she'en mefulish. That is a mavi that's not open. That's the opinion of the Rabban in our Mishnah, that they say that you have to bring it to an unopened mavi. That's told by two walls and two side posts. Shtei mechitzas of alechi echad, if there's two walls and one side post, zehu mavi hamafulish, that's the opinion of Ben Becerra that say that you could bring it to an open mavi. And who is this going like? For Tavai Levi Rabbi Yehuda, and they both hold like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, yes, okay, no, Rabbi Yehuda, there was a discussion going on there, and moreover, Rabbi Yehuda says, Misha yeshle shnei batim, b'shnei tzidi Rishos Rabbim. If someone has two houses on the two sides of Rishos Rabbim, which that is the equivalent of the case that we're talking about, that there's two walls, two mechitzes, and that is one house is one wall, and one house is another wall on the either side of Rishos Rabbim. So then Rabbi Yehuda said, Oysa lechi mikan, b'lechi mikan, you can make a side post on this side and a side post on this side. Or a crossbeam over here and a crossbeam over there. You can carry in Rosh Hashanah between these two houses because the two walls are considered, the walls of the house are like two walls, and then the side posts will help to make it as if this is an enclosed area, and therefore, even though there's Rosh Hashanah going through, they said to him, wait, you can't make an ayeriv over there to create a shetuvim of voice. Or this area that you're making in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, in the middle of public domain, you can't do that. So, however, what we see over here, that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that to make a correct mavi for the halacha, it's enough to have two walls and to have two lechayim. And therefore, the machlokes was over here, do we require, as always, like the Rabban saying, two walls and two lechayim, that's a mavoi that's in the it's not open, it's like it's closed. Whereas Bemeser said that no, over here with special dispensation, that it's enough to have even just one lechi, but they're both going in the pitni of Rebbe Yehuda. To which the Gemara asks, I'm like, Abaya, I don't understand, what'd you gain? L'didach nami, according to your opinion also, you can still ask the same question that you asked before. That is, Rabbanon, not l'teiche, yoichel l'mashkin. According to Rabbanon, you should still be able to save inside of it food and drink. And that is because you're telling me that they're going like the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda. And therefore, according to the Rabbanan, when they're saying you have to bring it to a Mabi that's not open, you're explaining it that according to the criteria of Rebbe Yehuda, you're not lacking anything because all he needs is two walls and two side posts. So therefore, according to Rabbanan, again, you should be able to bring food and drink just like you could bring it into Chatzam or Revis. It's the same idea. It's the same kosher Mabi. You're just downgrading it from the opinions of the Machlaikas and what is a correct Mabi. But Rebbe Yehuda's opinion, it's a full-fledged Mabi with two walls and two Lechayim. So therefore, why only a Sefer Torah and not food and drink? So we continue on to Amud Beis, that the Gemara says, Elam Rav Ashi, rather, Rav Ashi says, this is the Pshat. Sholosh mechitzes v'lechi echad, if there's three walls and one side post, zehu mavish in mevolish, that is the opinion of the Rabbanan, that says that it's a mavish that's unopened, because it has three walls and it has a side post. Gimel mechitzes beloy lechi, three walls without any side post, zehu mavish mevolish, that's the opinion of Ben Maseri and Mishnah, that says you could even bring it to an open mavish. And they're both holding in the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer that holds generally you need to have two side posts. And here none of them are saying that. Rabban saying one side post and Ben Maseri saying no side post. And because when did Rebbe Eliezer say you need to have two side posts? That he said for food and drink to make it a full-fledged mavo, he has to have two side posts and three walls. But for a Sefer Torah, there it's enough with one side post, which that's the opinion of the Rabbanan. But Ben Maseri holds you don't even need to have any side post. And that is, again, both the Rabbanan and Ben Maseri hold like Rebbe Eliezer. That generally, for a kosher mavi, which is one to regular carry and a regular Shabbos, you need to have three walls and two side posts. But here, regarding a fire that's happening on Shabbos, and you want to save the Sefer Torah, the Rabbanan say that Rebbe Eliezer would agree that here would be enough with one side post. And Ben Maseri says Rebbe Eliezer would agree that you don't need to have any side post. It would be enough in the fact that it has three walls, and that's what he's calling a mavi mefolish, an open mavi, because it doesn't have any side posts. And that is the understanding of the Machlokes na Mishnah when we're saving the Sefer Torah, together with the cover that's with it, where can you save it to a mavi mefolish, an mefolish? Again, mavi ein mefolish, which Rabbanan means that there's three walls and one side post. Remember, so it says to an open mavi, to an open alleyway, it means to three walls with no side posts, in spite of the fact that the both like Rebbe Eliezer, the whole generally you need to have three walls and two side posts. Now we continue with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing this discussion of saving items from a fire when the house is on fire. So the Mishnah says, Matzilin mazon gimel sudas. You're allowed to save, besides the Sefer Torah that's in the house, and you're taking out the tefillin, and you're taking out everything, you're also allowed to save three meals worth from the house. And that is haro la'adam. La'adam, whatever food is fit for a man, you're allowed to take out for the people. Haro la'behema, la'behema, whatever food is fit for the animals, you can take out for the animals, because you have to feed the animals. So Ketzad, the Mishnah explains, what is this talking about? If Nafla Dleika B'Leil Shabbos, if there was a fire on Friday night before they ate the Friday night meal, Matzilin Mazin Gimel Sudas, then you could save three meals because you need it for the night meal and for the 2 day meals. B'Shachris, if it happened in the morning, the fire before the morning meal, so then Matzilin Mazin Beis Sudas, then you could save two meals worth because then you have two meals left. B'Mincha, in the afternoon, so then Mazin Sudachas, then you save one meal which is for Shalosh Sudas. Rabbi Yossi, however, Rabbi Yossi says, "La'ilam matzilin mazon shalosh shudas." You can always save meals worth of three meals, and that is since it's a day that's designated for three meals, and he's taking it out. He's going and exerting an effort of heter because you're allowed to have three meals on Shabbos. So therefore, they're not muktzah. It's food that's generally permitted for Shabbos. And you're also taking it out to a chatzah murevis, as the Mishnah later is going to explain, that it's to a chatzah that has an erev, and there's no problem with carrying over there. So really, you should even be able to take out much more than that. You should be able to take out more than three sudas, you're allowed to carry over there. That's only if, because of, as the Gemara is going to explain, there was a gezeirah that was made, that you shouldn't take out more than three sudas. However, three sudas you are allowed to take out, that's the amount that Shabbos is designated for. And although it's already past the first meal or the second meal, you're still always allowed to take out three meals worth outside when there's a fire on Shabbos. Now the Gemara asks, Mechti, let's see, Beheterik Otarach, this person is involved in something permissible. These items are food items, they're not muktzah. You're not taking it out to Rosh Hashanah, you're taking it out to a chatz or to a courtyard that has an eiv where you're allowed to carry. Not till tvei, you should be able to save more than three sudas. Why just three meals worth? So Amar Rava, he says, there was a reason why we made this gezeirah. Since a person is he's in a tumultuous frame of mind because of his money. Look at this, his house is on fire. If they would permit him to start saving things, you know, because he's so concerned, he's going to start forgetting about Shabbos. He's like, okay, get everything out. The Rabban say, well, a lot of take it out, it's not Mokta. So Aslich, he's going to come to extinguish the fire because he's so caught up. And that's why they made a gezeirah that you can't save more than three meals because that's necessary for Shabbos. But more than that, we didn't let you get start getting involved because you might come to extinguish. And that the Gemara asks, someone like Abaya, if that's the reason why we said you can't save more because you might come to do a malachad, so elahod tanya. But this that we learned the brayso nishbur lechavis bereish gagoy. Someone has a barrel full of wine on top of his roof and it broke. Now he's all worried; his whole barrel of wine is going to waste. So maybe kli manech tachta, you could bring a vessel and put it down on the ground and let it drip into there. However, as long as it doesn't bring another vessel and go ahead and catch the drips that are falling in the air, or to bring a different vessel and attach it near to the roof, which is like drawing the water off from the roof into the vessel, that you can't do. You can only put the vessel down the bottom, and that's it. So the question is, there, what type of decree that would apply over there? There, everything is totally mutter. So why wouldn't you be able to go ahead and put like a vessel in the air to catch the drops? What is the, I mean, I understand that you're saying that here by the fire, why even though it's something mutter, you shouldn't be able to do because you might come to extinguish the fire, you might come to do malacha. But yet over here, what would you do over here that you, we don't allow you to go ahead and do different things of putting it right next to the roof or catching the air? And I think where it says, no, hachinami hiros gzeira. Because you might come to bring a vessel through the public domain and be carrying, transporting Haitzah on Shabbos. That is because since you're trying to get so many vessels because this big, huge barrel broke and he's saying, do you have a pot? Do you have something to catch in? And you're going to bring it from Shabbos Rabbim. He's going to forget. That's why we say, no, that's it. The same idea there also. You're allowed to put it on the floor and let it drip in. But more than that, not, you can't be catching from the ear or bringing it up to the roof to catch it with it. So the Gemara says, Gufa, we learned, we just said this halacha, and now we'll say the full statement. Nishbur lechavis bereish gagai. We said in the braisa that if the barrel breaks on the top of his roof, maybe kli manich techter. You're allowed to bring a vessel and then put it on the ground under it, and whatever drips in, drips in. However, bavachalo yebe kli achave yichle. As long as you don't bring a different vessel and try to catch it in the ear, or kli achave yitzarv, or to bring another vessel and bring it up to the roof where it's dripping off from. However, nizdam lo yarchim. If guests happen to come to him, then we allow certain kulas. Maybe kliach avakar, then you could bring another vessel to go ahead and catch it in the ear, or kliach mitzarf, or to bring another vessel and attach it to the roof. However, you shouldn't go ahead and catch in the ear to use this heter, this kula of catching it, and then later to go invite guests, because at the time when you were catching it, you didn't need it. It doesn't help that later to go ahead and rectify it by inviting guests. Ela Yasmin Machiyichle, whatever, what you should do is first invite guests, and now you have this special heter, and then you could go ahead and catch it in the air. However, the Imarib Mukach, but you can't make a trick regarding this. You can't invite guests, they don't really need to eat, and then they're gonna leave over the entire thing. That's harama. That's being tricky, and that you can't do. However, that you could do the sly move and say that, hey, you want to be part of my meal, and like, you know, they know they're really not going to drink the wine. And then you say, oh, I have a guest, and I'm allowed to go ahead and do this thing of put the kli to the roof or to go ahead and catch it in mid-air. So the Gemara says, Lema beplukta drebelezer Rabbi Shukim Mefakli. Let's say that this machlekes between Rabbi Yisrael and Yehuda is the same thing as a machlekes tanaim that we have between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shua. The Tanaim has learned in the Braisa, which seems like the same type of idea. We learned Oisev es benoi shenavu labar. If an animal and its son falls into a pit on Yamtim, and now you can't slaughter both of them in one day because Oisev es benoi is the isser of slaughtering the parent and the child animal on the same day. So now they're both in the pit, and you want to be able to get them out because they might die over there in the pit. So what do? You're allowed to take out the first one with the intention to slaughter it, because that is tzarcha yamtiv, because you're allowed to go ahead and do a malacha from eichel nefesh. So you can take out the first one, but vasheni, the second one, you can't take it out because you wouldn't be able to slaughter the second one now that you're slaughtering the first one, because you can't do the parent and child on the same day. So the most you could do is support it, you give it food, whatever it needs in its place so that it shouldn't die, but you can't take it out because that would be doing a malacha for non-eichel nefesh purposes because you can't eat both anyway on the same day. No. Yes, you take out the first one with the intention to slaughter it, that I'm allowed to do, but then you don't slaughter it. That is, you find some type of excuse and say, wait, maybe the other one is fatter. I think the other one looks like it'll have a better piece of meat. umarim umalas hasheni, and then you do this trick, and then you bring up the second one, and then rotzes hasheichet. Then if you whichever one you want to slaughter, that's the one you can slaughter. So you first bring up the first one, say, yeah, I'm doing it for shechita purpose, I'm allowed to do that. You say, you know what? I don't really like this one. I want the other one to shecht. Now I'm allowed to do it because eichel nefesh, and then you can do whichever one you want. So therefore, the Gemara says that lachar sounds like the same machlokes. If you're allowed to do haram or not, that is the same machlokes we find in Tanaim. Then the Gemara says mimai. How do you know that it's the same points? And that is dilma ad kan lekam Rebbe Elazar hasa. Maybe only over there did Rebbe Elazar say that you cannot do harama, that we don't allow you to take out the parent and child on the same day of Yom Tov, the efshar bepanasa, because there's still the ability to support the animal and that it shouldn't die by giving it food and giving it what it needs in the pit and not to take it out. So therefore we say then you cannot do harama because there's another way to do it. But here regarding the barrel that broke, where it's not possible without harama. If you don't do harama to go ahead and bring the guests, even though they don't really need it, it's going to drip and it's going to waste. There where it's going to be a loss that cannot be prevented any other way. Maybe he does allow harama. And also the other way around. Maybe over there, Rabbi Shua, only there did he say that you're allowed to do harama to take out both animals, because there's another element of the tzar balachayim, which is something that we always consider because of the pain that the animal is going through. But here, regarding the barrel that broke, there's no tzar balachayim, it's just wine going to waste. Maybe there he did not allow harama, so therefore, it's not necessarily a machlekes tanaim, that it's possibly that each one would say otherwise regarding the machlekes of the barrel of wine. Now, regarding the topic of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings a brisa. Tanrabban, hitzla pas nekiya. If someone saved, again, we're saying that you're allowed to save 3 meals worth. So if someone saved a clean bread, which is fine flour, three meals worth, e matzla pas hadra, then you can't go ahead and save a coarse flour bread. And that is, it's called hadra because its hadra, its beauty was taken away. That's because it's not fine flour, it's coarse flour. So now, once you already save 3 meals worth of fine flour, you can't not do what's called harama, do this trick and say, wait a second, I want to have something else, because no one wants coarse flour over fine flour. So once you took fine flour, you can't save coarse flour. However, pasadra, if you already saved 3 meals worth of coarse flour, of bread, then matzah pasniki, you could still go ahead and save fine flour bread, because then you could do this harama and say, wait a second, I don't want coarse bread, I want to have fine bread. So therefore, you could go ahead and save another 3 meals worth of fine bread. Moreover, matzila miyom kippurim l'shabbos. You're allowed to save if it happened on Yom Kippur the fire to have food for Shabbos. Avolim m'shabbos yom kippurim, but not from Shabbos for Yom Kippur. And that is, for example, if Yom Kippur came out on a Sunday, so then you only have to eat on Sunday night. Then we say that on Sunday night, then you should go ahead and go through the tircha. We're not going to allow you on Shabbos to save a meal for matzah Yom Kippur for Sunday night. Rather, go through the tircha of getting your meal on Sunday night. We definitely don't have to say that you now save the 3 meals on the fire on Shabbos for Yom Tov, because in Yom Tov you could go ahead and make your own preparations on Yom Tov. You're allowed to do Eichel Nefesh. You're also not allowed to make preparations from this Shabbos for the coming Shabbos. It's only for this Shabbos itself that you're allowed to save 3 meals worth because of the fire. So similar to this, Tanabon, we learned the Braisa. Shochach pas betan, if someone forgot bread in the oven, v'kiddush alav hayom, and already was Shkia, already became Shabbos. So then the same term as we find in our Mishnah, matzilin mazin shalish shudus. Then you're allowed to save 3 meals worth. You're allowed to take out of the oven, although you're not allowed to take out of the oven, as we're going to see in a moment on Shabbos. However, 3 meals worth we do allow you to take, as similar as we find the special dispensation of saving 3 meals worth from a fire. And you could even tell others, come and save for yourselves, meaning everyone can take out their own 3 meals worth, and thereby will be able to take out all the bread from the oven. However, Ukushu Raida, but when he does take down the bread from the oven, and that is the way they used to bake their bread, was they used to take a slab of flour, of dough, and put it against the oven wall and would stick over there. So you need a special utensil to take it down. Well, you're the Bemarad. You shouldn't take it down with this special utensil, this type of a spatula, which was separated from the wall of the oven that it was stuck to. You shouldn't take it down with that because that's what's called uvdu dechal. That's a way of doing it during the weekday, which is usher to do on Shabbos. Ela b'sakin, rather you should take a knife and scrape it over the oven wall that way. And this the Gemara asks, Ini, is it really so that you're telling me you now take down the bread from the oven walls and we could only do up to 3 meals worth, and even when you're doing it, we only allow you to do it with a knife, not with this marda? But Why is that a problem? Vatan de Rabbi Shmuel, it says in the pasuk leisasek ha-malacha, you shouldn't do all malacha, all labor on Shabbos. Yotza tikiyas shayfa v'diyas apas. So in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they said what's excluded from this prohibition is blowing the shayfa and taking down the bread from the oven wall. Shichach mevein malacha, because it's only a wisdom. It's an art form, but it's not a malacha. It's not a labor. So therefore, what would be the problem of taking down the bread from the oven wall? What are you doing wrong? It's not a malacha. It's not labor. It's chachma, something smart, something to know how to do. And therefore, why can't you take down even with a marda? Now the Gemara says, "Kamada efshel l'shnei mishninan." As much as we could change, we changed. And that is because of the concept that we mentioned before of uvdu d'chal. Since that's a normal way of doing it during the weekday, of taking down bread, it looks like a weekday mundane activity that we don't want you to do on Shabbos. So therefore, although it's not a malacha d'iraisa, midrabbana, we tell you that you have to take it down in an indirect way of taking with a knife and not with a marda. And therefore, we only allow you to take up until 3 meals worth. We don't let you go ahead and take off bread from the oven, which is a weekday activity on Shabbos. So the Gemara says a few different ideas relating to preparations for Shabbos. Amar Rav Chisda, La'olam yashkim adam, a person should always get up early in the morning on Friday morning on Erev Shabbos to go ahead and go through the preparations, Laitzah Shabbos, for the things that are necessary to prepare and the expenses for Shabbos. Shneim, like it says in the Pasuk, which talks about the month, it says that it was on Friday, that they prepared that what they were going to bring. And that is, the pasuk sounds like that at the time of when they were bringing it, they were preparing it. That is, they prepared that which they brought. It sounds like it was at the same time. And when did they bring in the man? They brought it early in the morning, as the pasuk in Shemesh Tezayin says, that they would gather it early in the morning. So therefore you see that the preparation should be early in the morning, because that's exactly as the Gemara says, la'alta, right away. Because when they would gather it, when they would bring it, was in the morning. So therefore, we find that they would prepare it as they brought it. So therefore, all the preparations should be started very early, Friday in the morning. Another halacha, Amar Baba, b'Shabbos chayiv adam levtzoya ashteik karas. On Shabbos, a person is obligated to break to make his bracha of a mitzi on two breads, what's called lechem mishnah, the chsiva says in the pasuk by the man, lechem mishnah was a double portion of man that they had on Friday to have for Shabbos, and therefore on Shabbos you should go ahead to commemorate that idea of the man to have two breads when you're making a mitzi. However, the Gemara says, Amr Avashi, Chazine le Rav Kahana did not katarti. Yes, I saw Rav Kahana when he made Hamoitzi on Shabbos that he was holding two breads, but Ubatzacha, they only broke when he cut the bread, he only broke one of them. So Amr says, yes, of course that's what he did. Lok tuksiv. It says that they gathered. In other words, their holding was two. But breaking the bread, it doesn't say Mishnah that it was double. So therefore, yes, when you're making Hamoitzi, you should be on two breads, but when you cut it, you don't have to cut two, you could cut even one bread. So the Gemara says, Reb Zeira, have a butza akuli sherusa. When he would cut the bread after he made hamaitzi, he would cut a piece large enough to last for the entire meal, that he wouldn't have to ask for another piece of bread, a huge chunk that it could last for the fish and the soup and everything. And that was for the honor, for covet of Shabbos, that it looks like he really is into the meal of Shabbos, that he wants to eat a lot. So Amalei Ravina Ravashi, what do you mean about Mechzi Kravsenus? It looks like somebody that's just a hunger, that's passing out. That's not proper to be eating such a large chunk of bread. It's not but covetic. So Amalei, even the Kol Yoyim Eloi Ovid, since every day he doesn't do this, he eats like a Talmid Chacham eats. He eats a small slice, a little bit at a time. But he knew the covet, and it's only now where he cuts himself such a huge piece of bread. Lemechzi Kravsenus, it doesn't look like a person that's someone that wolves down food. It looks like he's doing it as a chashivas, as a way of showing that this is precious to me. This is something I want to eat a lot of because of the Suda Shabbos, of the Kedusha that's inherent. The Gemara says, "Rabbi Ami Rabasi ki miklaluhu rifta de ruvo," that when they happened to be that they had the bread of the Erev Chatzeres, and that is sometimes the Erev was in their houses. The Erev is put into other people's houses, that is as if they all share this person's house, that is the courtyard is all this person's house where everyone lives, and therefore it's one Rosh Hashanah that everyone could carry it. And sometimes it was in other people's houses. So when it happened to be in their house, Shari Iluye, then they would go ahead and start their meal, which is the bracha of a mitzi, they would start their eating with that bread. And Amri, they would say, Hoyl v'savet b'chad mitzvah, since one mitzvah was done with this bread, which it was designated as an erev, which is the mitzvah of the Rebbe Chatzeres, l'savet b'mitzvah achrina, let another mitzvah of making a mitzvah, being used for the Shabbos meal, be used with the same mitzvah. You want to use a mitzvah item to use a mitzvah gerez mitzvah with another mitzvah item. So the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah that says, Ketzad. So what is this talking about? Nafla d'leik, we said that it was the fire that Yolada saved 3 meals worth on Shabbos. So the Gemara brings machlekes exactly. How many meals are you obligated to eat on Shabbos? Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa. How many meals is a person obligated to eat on Shabbos, which obviously would be related to the halacha of saving meals on Shabbos? So the Tana Kama says, Shalish, three meals, Shalish Sudas. Reb Chidka Oima Ab, Reb Chidka says you eat four meals. So Amrabi Yechanan, Ushne Mekar Echad Darshu, they both learn it out from the same pasuk, their respective opinions. It's the pasuk in Shemayis that says, V'yayim Moshe Achlu Hayim, Moshe says, eat the month today. Ki Shabbos Hayim L'Hashem, because today is a day of Shabbos for Hashem. Hayim Lem Setu Basada, today you're not going to find the month in the meal. So therefore we find the word Hayim today said three times to tell you that the number three, which is integral for the halacha of Shabbos, which he was telling you to eat the Suda Shabbos, eat the month today, which is that there's three Sudas on Shabbos. Reb Chidka learns Hani Tlasa Hayim Labar Maurta. He was learning that the word today was talking about during the day besides the night meal. So therefore there's four meals. Rabban Savri Bahadi Urta, but Rabban has held that it's going on the entire Shabbos of Hayyim, which includes the night and the day, and therefore the three meals was the entirety of the night and day, one at night, two during the day, therefore there's going to be three Sudas, and that's the machlekes about how many Sudas on Shabbos do you have to have. Three Sudas, as we understand that it's Shalosh Sudas, or is it Reb Chidka holds that there's four Sudas, one at night and three during the day.